wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. Jesus, please let the people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts.
Welcome. This is the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3. Your host today, my name is David Gallner, and we're located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA, 16148, in a development called Linden Point. We're the fourth building on the left, catacorner from Butler County Community College. People always want to know why you call it One Way Radio Network. The reason, folks, you're going to die, I'm going to die. There's only one way to heaven. Hebrews 9:27 makes it very clear. A man's point in once to die, then comes a judgment. So what judgment are we talking about? We're talking about either the great white throne judgment, where non-believers will spend eternity in hell because they chose to. We'll talk about the secret of spending eternity in heaven. And then the Bema judgment, or the judgment seat of Christ for believers who have humbled themselves, repented, and believed on Jesus Christ as the God, will be in heaven with him forever and ever, and your works will be tested by fire. So that's what we call One Way Radio Network. There's only one way, and that's through repentance and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way. We'll talk a lot more about that. So our website is One Way to Heaven. OneWayToHeaven.com. Not .org, but OneWayToHeaven.com. If you'd like to call me, our local number is 724-983-1617. 724-983-1617. Toll-free number is 800-264-4963. My cell is 724-699-3789. If you notice something different about my voice, I'm kind of getting over a cold, so it's a little raspy, so to speak, more so than usually. But please bear with me, and the Holy Spirit, pray for me, we'll get through this. So, we're going to talk about Lent here, and the purpose of that on the second segment. But you ever wonder, what is the gospel? What does the word gospel mean anyways? That means what? Good news. Imagine this. Let's see, you were in a terrible car accident, and you were first to reach the driver who was clearly in bad shape. Have you ever had that happen? I did many years ago in Greenville. And I was the first at the scene of the accident, and the first thing, people wanted to call the police. I says, no, the first thing is call 911, or actually they didn't have 911 back in those days, but something similar to that. And I says, do not move her and give her a blanket. Then call the police. So I've ever experienced that or not, but I have. I think that was in the late 1960s. At the last moment, this person says, he turns to you and he says this. The person's awake. They're not unconscious. I'm afraid to face God. How about you? When you die, are you afraid to face God? Or are you looking forward to that? How can I know that my sins, how do you know your sins have been forgiven? Because the Bible's very clear what all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Compared to a righteous holy God, you are a filthy rag. There's none righteous. No, not one. Would you be able to explain the good news of Jesus to this desperate person in 25 words or less? You hear that? 25 words or less. Humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. Why start with this question in this scenario? Because it's a situation that demonstrates the good news of the gospel found in who? None other than Jesus, deity, fully God, fully man, the Messiah.
Now, most important message. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Paul explains that the meaning of the gospel and declares the message is what? Of first importance. Importance, folks. Since the gospel is our most essential message, the good news, it is crucial that you and I understand what it is and able to explain it. Can you explain the good news? But unfortunately, while the message of the gospel is clearly a priority for the followers of Jesus, there's many, many people don't really know it. Not committed, educated, biblical, astute, mature Jesus followers are unable, that's right, they're unable to present this most basic issue. So at the very outset, we want to do what? Ask and answer the most important question, what is the gospel? I mentioned earlier, it's the good news for all who will humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. What is the good news that we proclaim? What must a person believe in order to experience God's forgiveness and new life in Jesus? Well, there is no salvation without repentance. And we talk about 2 Corinthians 7:10, that's that godly sorrow that you ask for repentance, but you're not going to recognize you're a sinner unless you humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he'll lift you up. Those who humble themselves will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1, verse 1, Paul uses the word gospel, two Greek words put together into one to mean, I said earlier, good news. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says that he proclaimed this message of good news, and the Corinthians have received it, so they were able to stand in it, and most vitally, they were what? Saved by it. This is the essential message of faith. That's right, essential message of faith. And he delivered it to them of first importance. So just as Paul, his listeners, understood this core message, you and I must understand that believe the gospel message in order to experience God's redemption for all. He wants all to come to repentance. Many people are called, but few are chosen because God foreknows who's going to come to them. So what is exactly the gospel? It's the substitutionary death of Jesus. Remember, he's fully God, fully man, deity, hypostatic union, fully God, fully man. The first part of the good news is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Messiah, Jesus, died. Paul gives the reason for the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It was for what? Our sins. You and I are sinful. Jesus died as a sin substitute. That's right, a substitute, taking the punishment that you and I deserved. Paul then gives evidence that Jesus really died as what? Our sin substitute. The first part of the evidence is biblical. It was according to the scriptures, meaning Old Testament passage like Isaiah chapter 53. You got to check that out, folks. Which foretold Messiah's substitutionary death on our behalf. In his death, what? Jesus received the punishment that you and I deserve. The second part of Paul's gospel providing evidence is historical. He was buried. That's right. Paul is asserting that Jesus really died. Yes, he died. But he's risen. Risen indeed. It wasn't a sham. Excuse me. Our Savior didn't merely swoon or appear to be dead. He really, truly, honestly died. If he had not died, he would not have been buried. That's right. So the first part of the good news is that the Messiah Jesus, what, died for you and for me. All who will humble, repent, believe, and receive. What's the second part? The resurrection. That's the linchpin. The second part of the good news is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 8, is that the Messiah, Jesus, was raised from the dead. He was raised on what day? The third day. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. This is a crucial, crucial, crucial element, and it's often overlooked by many when explaining the good news by preachers, theologians, even evangelists. Too often they mistakenly assume that everyone knows that Jesus not only died, but was raised from the dead as well. And again, I would remind us, you and me, that in our current culture, we can't assume that all listeners know or agree that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and is now alive. Yes, he's alive. One reason the resurrection is so important is that it validates Jesus' deity. Remember, fully God, fully man. Another fancy churchy word is hypostatic union. Fully God, fully man. It proves he is really God. See, a lot of cults believe he's a God, but not the God. You see, anyone can claim to be God, but how do we know that Jesus, who claimed to be God in the flesh, really was God? The proof is found in the resurrection. God the Father validated Jesus' claim by raising him from the dead. That's why Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The word Lord here is a reference to Jesus being Lord God, not the master of our lives. Additionally, this verse links his deity to his resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus claimed to be deity, fully God, fully man, and the Father confirmed that he is by raising him from the dead. A second reason the resurrection of Jesus is crucial is that he gave us new life. We're regenerated, born again. John 3:3 says to me, born again. So I like being pregnant, either you are or you're not. The Bible says, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in what? The newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It is because Jesus is alive that we have resurrection power to live new lives in him. So here's the good news in a nutshell. Messiah Jesus died for our sins and rose again, proving he is God. That's it. That's the gospel. It is not about going forward at an altar call, raising our hands, getting baptized, although you should for obedience. Baptism means to submerge. Joining a church or even feeling ready really bad for the wrong we've done. The gospel doesn't require that we know everything in the Bible. So now that I would say to the guy in the car accident, remember I was saying in the beginning, in 25 words or less, here's what you might say. The wrong things we do separate us from God. Messiah Jesus died, taking our punishment, and rose again, proving he is God. Trust in him. That's exactly 25 words. Believe upon him. Humble, repent, believe, receive, and become. Do you know him? You don't want to hope so, you want to know so. You listen to One Way Radio Network. I want you to listen to this important message. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Lent.
Tax season doesn't have to be stressful or expensive. At Innovation Tax Services and Legacy Financial Strategies, they offer complete tax preparation for just $250. That includes your 1040, long form or short form, Schedule A, Schedule B, unlimited W-2s and 1099s, Schedule E for rental property and oil and gas income, and up to 10 trades on Schedule D. Your state return is included, and if you need a local return, it's just $10 more. Innovation Tax Services is conveniently located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage. They also provide tax planning and financial planning, so you're not just filing taxes, you're planning ahead. Visit them online at InnovationTaxService.com or give them a call today at 724-983-1617. Innovation Tax Services. Smart taxes, clear pricing, and peace of mind.
Welcome back. Listen to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute, which is a 501c3, and my name is David Gollner. I'm your host. Our website is onewaytoheaven.com, onewaytoheaven.com. Lots of good information there. We post our radio shows there for the past weeks. They're also listed there. If you care to make a donation, if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, there's a place for it, or you can There's our address. You can write a check, whatever you, God, the Holy Spirit guides and directs you to give. Our location, Legacy Education Institute, is 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA, 16148. Our local number is 724-983-1617, 724-983-1617. Toll-free number is 800-264-4963. My cell number is 724-699-3789. I'm going to talk about some resources. Here's you can get. You can stop by and pick them up. There's no charge, or we can mail them, pay shipping and handling, because we want you to help us fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 1:8. Remember, when we pass this information on, we don't do the convicting, the convincing, the converting, or the saving. Our job is to tell. The Holy Spirit's job does the convicting, the convincing, the converting, and the saving. Our job is to share the good news, which we talked about the last segment. God wants all, A-L-L, to come to repentance. Many people were called, but few are chosen. God foreknows who's going to come to him. So let's talk about Lent. You see on TV, you see a lot of these marks on their faces. You might be saying, what is that? I think most people that should be living on a rock probably knows somewhat about the meaning. So what is the meaning of Lent? The answer is Lent is a period of what? Fasting. I don't know if all these folks do fasting. They usually give up something. Could be TV, might be some dessert. Moderation, it could be self-denial. It's traditionally observed by Catholics, but also some Protestants, some denominations, begin with it on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. It ends with Easter Sunday. The length of the Lenten fast was established in the 4th century as 46 days, 40 days, not counting Sundays. During Lent, participants eat sparingly or give up a particular food or habit. It's also not uncommon for people to give up smoking during Lent, or to swear off watching television, or eating candy, or telling lies. It's 6 weeks of self-discipline. Lent began as a way of Catholics to remind themselves of the value of repentance. We need to what? Die daily. 1 John says, if we can, by the Holy Spirit, if we confess our sins before you, faithful and just, and cleanses of all unrighteousness. We need to do this daily and pick up the cross. So Lent began as a way of Catholics to remind themselves of the value of repentance. That's that godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow. The austerity of the Lenten season was seen as a similar to how people in the Old Testament fasted and repented in sackcloth and ashes. Remember the book of Esther, what Esther did when they were going to kill all the Jews? What did Esther do? She fasted. You can check out Esther chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, and Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 26, and Daniel 9, 3. However, over the centuries, Lenten observance have developed a much more sacramental value. Many Catholics believe that giving something up for Lent is a way to attain God's blessing. But the Bible teaches, what does the Bible teach? That grace cannot, you hear this folks, cannot be earned. Grace, by definition, is what? A gift. Gift. Also, Jesus taught that fasting should be done discreetly. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Now, where did I get that? From Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18a. Jesus' command to wash your face seems to conflict with the practice of rubbing ashes on one's face on Ash Wednesday. Right? Can be a good thing, and God is pleased when we, what? Repent humbly. I'd say the godly sorrow, humbly repent of sinful habits. There's absolutely nothing wrong was setting aside some time to focus on Jesus' death and resurrection. However, repenting of sin is something we should be doing, like I said earlier, every day, probably minute by minute, every day of the year, not just for the 46 days of Lent. If a Christian wishes to observe Lent, he or she, of course, is free to do so. The key is to focus on repenting of sin and consecrating oneself to God. Lent should not be a time of boasting of one's sacrifice or trying to earn God's favor or increasing His love. God's love for us could not be any greater than it already is. He's omnibenevolent, all-loving. He's omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent. He's everywhere. So how can we know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? Well, you know, a Barnabas poll shows that for every American who believe he or she is going to hell, there are 120 who believe they're going to heaven. Many people I talk to, they hope to be in heaven. No, you don't want to hope so, you want to know so. Yet Christ said otherwise, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road leads to life, and only a few find it. That's in Matthew chapter 7, 13 or 14. Many people profess they do not possess. Heaven then is not our default destination, nor no one gets there automatically. No, 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 no. Unless our sin problem, see the sin problem, the repentance is dealt with. The only place we can go is hell. You and I, we deserve hell. As I mentioned, compared to righteous holy God, we're filthy rags. We're scumbags, folks, compared to righteous holy God. We have to die to self daily. Our true default destination is hell. But if we humble, repent, believe, and receive and become, we will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. In the Bible, Jesus talks more about hell than anyone else. He talked more in the kingdom than anyone else. But the most important decision you can make is where you're going to spend eternity. You will not get there because you're a good old gal or good old boy. We're talking about forever and ever and ever and ever. So I like taking a vacation. You say you won't get there next year. He refers to it as a real place and describes it in graphic terms, including raging fires and where the worm never, never dies. Christ says the unsaved will be what? Thrown outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. That's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. It is impossible to know for sure we're going to go to heaven. The apostle said, I write these things to you. Now listen to this, folks. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's from 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. So we can know for sure we're going to go to heaven when we die. Do you? If not, do not. You want to make sure that you have humbled, repent, believe, and receive. To sin means to fall short of glory of God's standard. Sin is what ended Eden's paradise. And all of us, like Adam and Eve, are sinners. I know you don't like to hear that, but we are. That's the first step. First step before is humble. If you won't humble, you won't recognize you're a sinner. You and I are sinners. All have sinned and fall short of glory of God. As I said before, none is righteous. No, not one. So some of the resources we're giving out is A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, the condensed version. Very powerful. We have lots of those to give out. Biblical Answers About Heaven, not his 490-page book, but his 45-page book. That's called Biblical Answers to Common Questions About Heaven by Randy Elkhorn. You get goosebumps when you read that. The $1 trillion bill or the $1 million bill. And what many people ask me, what is this? Well, there's a program on right before me, Pastor Phil Cooper. He's been passing them out, a lot of them. And it looks like a real bill, you know, $1 million or $1 trillion. But you know what's on that flip side is the gospel message. So here's what you do. Any of these resources, you give them to them, say, would you do me a favor? First, read them yourself. Would you do me a favor? What is that? Would you read these? I would value your opinion and then pray for that individual. And then come and get more. And then from Evangelist Explosion, two question marks. Number one, when you die, do you know where you spend eternity? And number two, if you say heaven, why should God let you in? You need to answer that question yourself. Remember I said the secret is really not a secret throughout the Bible. Humble, because you're not going to repent unless you humble for humble. Repent. That's a godly sorrow. Humble. Believe what? Jesus Christ is the God. Deity. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who do you say he is? The God, a lunatic, or a liar? Then receive, and then the last step is become the Lordship. You have old nature, and you have new nature. That's the most important decision you could make. So thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. And remember this, this is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Secrets. Oh, this is why I